but everybody else looks as though they're here. So Nikita, if you wanted to go ahead and get started, I'm going to hit, let's see. Okay, it is recording. Thanks, Joe. Yeah, so if you want to go ahead and get started, I will hand it off to you and I'll bring up the presentation here. You're muted. There you go.
Good afternoon, everyone. The time is now 4:03, and I'm calling to order the August 13th hearing for the, give me one sec, my screen's a little bit small. Hearing for the Aberdeen Architectural Conservation District Commission hearing. Present today are John Blige, Sharon.
Kaylee,
and Helen Pillsbury, Nikita Burns, and staff member Nicholas Armada. Today, the commission will be holding, that took over my screen. Give me a moment. Okay. Today, the commission will be holding a public hearing to review applications in accordance with the Commonwealth of Massachusetts Executive Order, suspending certain provisions, the open meeting law, of the open meeting law. We are conducting this meeting online to ensure the public access to deliberations of the Aberdeen Architectural Conservation District Commission. The public may access this call through telephone or video conferencing. Members of the public will have an opportunity to ask questions and provide public comment on applications and discussions. To do so, please raise your hand in the application via Zoom meeting platform. If you are calling in and cannot use the platform, you can send your questions to staff via email at aberdeenacdc@boston.gov or via Twitter by tagging the Twitter handle Boston Landmarks and using the hashtag ABA, AB August 13th hearing. We will repeat these instructions throughout the hearing. First up, the first item on the agenda for review is a violation. Application 21.0093, the address is 19 Wallingford Road. The proposed work is the ratification of unapproved work at the front facade of the property that includes landscaping, window widening, window wells, and handrails. Can the applicant wait for us or let us know if you're on? Perfect. So it's John. Okay. Hello, John. Thank you. Before we begin, are there any recusals from the commission members? None. And members of the public are asked to please hold their comments until the end of the comment period of the application. So I will allow you to have the floor, John.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. My name is John Lydon on behalf of the project at 19 Wallingford Road. It's a pleasure to meet you today, albeit virtually. As discussed or as mentioned, we're here pursuant to a violation that was issued on July 1st, 2020 for failure to secure a permit as stated on the stop work order. We are apologetic for the fact that the work went on before we had a chance to present in front of you. If it matters, if you'd like to hear it, I can tell you why I think this, that we may have had this oversight, but regardless, we are ready, willing, and able to accommodate whatever this board may deem to be appropriate to rectify the situation. I can discuss it if there's any specific questions. I can discuss my application or our application, or I can answer questions. What would we prefer?
Thanks, John. So I think as the representative who explored this this issue here, I can just give you everybody a brief understanding here. So some of the work that's being performed that is in violation are the window wells that you see here, a handrail at the front of the property, as well as any landscaping that might occur on the property, considering there's construction happening at the moment. As a staff person, I feel the main concern here is the window wells, considering the uniformity of the block. So this will most likely be the thing that we have to concern ourselves with this evening the most. There is additional work at the rear, but it is not in our purview, so we will not be discussing it tonight. And that work can continue forward. Now, John, as I understand it, the need for these window wells here is for a second means of egress because there's now going to be space on the lower level. Is that correct?
Correct. Yeah, these window wells are being called for pursuant to our application, which was initially to convert what was a single family into a two family by predominantly by converting the what was unfinished basement space into living area. And the area of to the rear of the window wells that are on the screen right now is a, according to the floor plans that were submitted, it is a bedroom. So given that it is a bedroom, it requires a direct means of egress.
Thank you, John. So commissioners, we'll open it up to any questions.
I have to say, I have a real problem getting over the window wells because I'm familiar with that block and the window wells are a very discordant element to that whole block. It can't be treated separately. The buildings are all attached and I just can't think of a solution that does not involve eliminating those window wells as they appear now. Mm-hmm. The windows also, were they larger than the original windows that existed before?
Yes. Prior to construction, there existed three windows in the foundation of the structure. I don't have the exact dimensions. There is a photo of the property prior to renovation in the application packet. I would estimate just by looking at them, and I can.
I can see.
Take over your screen or the screen if you prefer. But I'd say they're about 12 inches in height and maybe 20 or so inches in width. And then just to give you my feedback in regards to the concern that you raised about the discordant nature of window wells in the area. There is some precedent from a property located four doors down from this, 1767 Commonwealth Ave, which is right on the corner of Commonwealth Ave and Wallingford Road, that has an existing window well installed. And in addition, directly to the, if you're looking at 19 Wallingford Road, the property directly adjacent to the left, which is 21 Wallingford Road, has not window wells, but, and it, would it be all right if I took over a screen share?
Yep, let me just give you, let's see here.
Actually, you have it in front of you. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You're on the screen right now. That's the property directly to the left. So it's not a window well, but it's a patio. It's a sunken patio with sliding door access directly from the basement. And then finally, I'll just mention that in some of the properties that are to the left and right, and in the close proximity, specifically on that block, there are some trees that have been placed in front of air conditioning condensers. There is a tree directly in front of 19 Wallingford Road and directly in front of the window casings that would provide some degree of screening from the street itself. And then beyond that, we're open to any suggestion of that nature, of course. But that's, I think, the best assessment I can give.
Okay, thank you.
Of course.
If I could just add to Sharon's comments, one of the main characteristics of that block, the whole block that goes around a loop, is that there are uniform facades and uniform architectural style. The 21 Wallingford is something that happened a long time ago. It was like prior to this commission existing and this district existing. So that's something that, you know, was already there and we can't do anything about that, you know, going forward. But in terms of preserving the character of and the architectural distinction of this, not just block, but this whole loop, I think it's important to recognize that the uniform nature of the facades is one of the most important features.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to
piggyback. Sorry, guys.
Oh, that's okay.
Did I cut someone off? I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I just want to piggyback on those same thoughts. I think part of being on the commission and, you know, what our purpose is to try to uphold what those characteristics are, to preserve that history, right? So we don't want to, you know, shift, if we can help it, we don't want to shift, you know, what's going on the facades of these buildings so that we can do that. So that I just want to say that I concur with the thoughts that have been brought up.
Of course, if I may respond, we agree and we appreciate that. And we wouldn't have requested a window casing were it not, in essence, a necessity given the nature of the conversion of that prior unfinished basement area. To the extent that we were able, it is a violation, but it does give us the silver lining where we can look at the work as it would appear. The casements have a profile that's about 4 inches above grade if you're looking from the street. And that, in combination with the reseeding, we intend to plant new grass and reseed the grass area. And in addition to any other, suggestions that you may have, screening and whatnot, we hope it kind of has a minimalist appearance as to the exterior of the property. And then this, in conjunction with the fact that we are renovating the property overall, we're repointing the brick and we're restoring it to the best of its, to the greatest degree of repair that it's not in disrepair, but we're restoring it fully in the course of our renovations as well. These are points I wanted to make.
And for the commissioners, I'll just add that so when we're converting properties in the city of Boston from a single family to a multiple family, it's the responsibility of the owner as well as the owner's representatives to seek out all necessary approvals and understand the process prior to starting construction. So while a second means of ingress is required by zoning code, had the applicant approached us prior, we would have informed them that widening windows on the front of a property would not be appropriate for this district. So I just wanted to make you aware of that. And further, first, I'm sorry if I got anybody feeling seasick when I was trying to navigate this map. But if you look here, you can see this is what the windows originally looked like prior to the construction.
Yeah. Standard basement windows. Yeah.
You know, a question I have, if we allow this to proceed, then when the next property owner wants to make this similar conversion, you know, you're setting a precedent that once you start changing, you start ending up not having what you had originally, because it's hard to allow one and not another, and then that can become a precedent and become a pattern.
Overall, architecturally, it presents a rather chaotic view. And again, since that's a block of buildings that have a very attractive uniformity in their lintels and the alternating arched and peaked doorways and other features, I'm really reluctant to approve window wills and larger windows, especially the windows that show they've got 6 lights. And they don't even reflect the style of the windows on the upper floors.
Well, pardon me, I'm sorry. Please continue.
I wanted to see, after addressing those concerns, if we can also talk about the handrail and where the proposed handrail is going to go, what the thoughts were about that, but proceed.
Certainly. Sorry to... I've cut you off there. The 6 light windows are something that we would be glad to change. Of course, it's not an issue. We could change those to single pane, double hung windows, similar to the style that exists above. The railing, of course, I'll answer as much as you would like to the best of my ability. But in terms of the uniformity of the project, I understand that it's a slippery slope situation. This block of properties has, this was a single family, but it's zoned for three families. So there's varying degrees of occupancy as you go up and down the road, 1, 2, 3. This is going to a 2. And to, you know, as you mentioned, 21 Wallingford Road occurred before this zoning commission was created. 17, 15, and 11 Wallingford Road each have their own unique and distinct features as you look at them from the street, as does the property on the corner, 1767. So while this would be a unique feature of 19 Wallingford Road, I believe overall, this is my contention, overall the uniformity would be retained substantially throughout the entire block. And perhaps to not allow Wallingford Road to, I'll leave it at that. I think that it would retain a significant degree of uniformity even despite these window wells. And agree with the changes to the window styling, screenings, et cetera, we can even improve that if possible. I'll leave it at
that. Do any of the commissioners have any more questions regarding the windows?
No, I think I've said all I wish to say about the windows. I would like to suggest a better solution without dramatic changes. And I'm very aware of setting a precedent. So I'm going to leave it at the window wells have got to go. It's easy enough to change the windows with the lights, but I would recommend that they make another effort to have a legal egress without something as dramatic as window wells. It's right on the street, and as careful as you would be about plantings, it would be hard to overlook.
Thank you, Sharon. Can we proceed to talk a little bit about those handrails again?
Yeah.
Sure.
John, this is the handrail, right? This one here? You're muted, John.
Sorry about that. Those are the handrails. There is a better photo that I can share. I did inadvertently send it to you in a zip file.
Okay.
It's labeled, I don't know if you want to bring it up or you want me to share, but it's labeled window casings and yard detail.
Window casing and yard detail. All right.
That's one. So it's one of the, there's three of them.
Okay. Do you have the photos on your computer? I can just give you control.
Okay. Yeah, I do. I have, it's just one photo. Right.
Okay. All right. All right. So I just made you a co-host if you'd like to share that picture.
Thank you.
I think I have to stop sharing myself.
Oh.
Let me just. Aha. Stop share. Go ahead, John.
Okay, thank you. Oh, it just wants me to grant access.
Okay.
There it is. I have it.
You got it? Okay.
Actually, no, it requires me to quit Zoom to alter the permissions. I'm sorry.
But that picture that we showed before, that was sufficient?
It
was showing the rail?
The picture I have is with, we've graded out the soil around the area, and it's just in a slightly better light. It's got more detail, but
okay.
Substantially speaking, those are the handrails.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
That's all right.
How's that?
Here we go. I think I found it. That's not it. Ah. Sorry. Well, I mean, you can see it in the background here.
Yeah.
What was there before, John?
That was my question. What was there prior?
So the existing structure, as it was purchased by my client, had a landing with no handrails. Oh. And there's a photo in the initial application again.
Are there stairs from that landing down to the ground level?
Yes, there's two stairs and then a landing.
And are the handrails along the stairs? What I'm getting to is, are the handrails, or is there at least a segment of the handrails that is serving a safety function of being like a handrail that's like part of a stair?
Yes,
absolutely. Or is it just a railing around the...
No, it provides handrail access as you ascend and descend the stairs, as well as a guardrail around the landing.
So what looks like, a concrete elevation there, almost like making a front, it's not a front stoop exactly, it's more than a stoop, but was that already there?
Yes.
And it just did not have a railing. So is what we're seeing now without a railing is how it originally was.
Yeah, that's the existing condition prior to renovation.
Yeah. If I can jump in here about the railings, several years back there was another question about one of these structures, and we've not been able to find any sample of what the porch railings were when it was first erected. But there doesn't seem to be a single railing at all, and everybody's improvised over the years. The cast iron seems to be the most suitable for this vintage. So, and certainly the safety feature has a lot to do with it. It looks very bright because the cement is new.
It's newly finished cement, you're correct.
Yeah.
The adjacent four properties, 17, 15, 11, and 17, 67, all have wrought iron fences as well on the stoop landing.
Are there any other questions from any of the commissioners before I open it up to public comment?
So, sorry, Nikita, I have a quick question. I'm looking, as you know, as the mapping industry increases online, we have different options and variables other than just Google Maps. And I'm looking at Apple Maps right now, and I can see that the steps were a yellow brick with some supports. I'm going to put it up against my phone, and I'm sorry, this is... It's just probably the quickest way to, so you see that there, that's from Apple Maps. Can everybody see my screen or my picture?
I'm not, but that's okay. I'll accept your
description. And when would that be from? Just like prior to this renovation or sometime further in the past?
I think that would be a good question for the applicant. So did that happen before the purchase or after the purchase?
That condition, if it existed, I don't doubt it did, was at some point prior to my client's acquisition.
So you're saying that the whole concrete slab was there. The only thing you have added is the wrought iron railing.
Correct.
Is that correct? I mean, I have less concern about the railing because it's a removable item. It's not a huge, it's not a permanent, you know, it's potentially not a permanent change. I do think there's a safety element as far as the railings along the stairs. There might even be an insurance requirement. I know in my own building, above a certain number of stairs, there's actually an insurance requirement to have a railing. So I think the railing along the stairs is potentially something we would need to accept because there's public safety issue to it. And as far as the rest of the railing, there are some, you know, that's not completely uniform amongst all the buildings, and there are some other ones with wrought iron, and it is a more removable element than the issue with the windows and the window wells.
Okay. Does John have any questions? John Bly?
Sorry, just trying to unmute. I agree the window wells look out of place, but the railing doesn't bother me at all. I think, you know, you look at a lot of these, there's different types of railings throughout the area. I mean, people obviously have done different types of formations with brick and different things. The railing I have no issues with. The window wells, it's a little different. Not really loving that, and more so really from the precedent it sets more than anything else. But yeah, that's kind of where I sit.
Thanks, John.
Okay.
So, okay.
Yeah.
I'm gonna open it up to public comment, but I have to read a small blurb just because we're doing this remotely. So members of the public will now have the opportunity to ask questions and provide public comment on applications and discussions. To do so, please raise your hand or type your question into the chat in the application via the Zoom meeting platform. If you are calling in and cannot use the platform, you can press *9 to raise your hand, or you can send your question to staff via email at aberdeenacdc@boston.gov or via Twitter by tagging the Twitter handle Boston at Boston Landmarks and using the hashtag AB August 13th hearing. We will repeat the instructions throughout the hearing. Please keep your comments related to the topic under the purview of the commission. Each member of the public will have 1 minute to address their concern. Please state your name and address followed by your comments. If someone has already spoke to your point, please state your name and address and indicate that you concur with the comment that has already been mentioned.
All right. I don't see anyone raising their hand. Let me just make sure no one is physically raising their hand. And I'm not seeing any emails come in or tweets. Nick, do you have anything?
I have nothing, no.
Okay. I think we can close public comment.
Actually, can I offer a comment? This is Ava Webster.
Ava Webster, yes, please. You have 1 minute.
Okay. Sorry, I'm not letting myself be seen, but I am in the middle of construction and I look like hell. So forgive me. Wanted to say that, of course, I agree with the disapproval of those wells, but they look to me like plastic and they are just unacceptable in my opinion. But at the same time, I think that if the wells were built with masonry, you know, maybe with granite blocks or bricks, you know, the well could be lined with some good masonry elements, it would be decent looking. And making the windows on the basement level match the rest of the building, or maybe, I don't know what's in the budget, but it would be great if all the windows on the front facade were consistent and matching, because then it would look intentional and not chaotic and haphazard. And with respect to the railing, you know, it's very hard to demand that people go above what they prefer to spend, but at the same time, those buildings could really benefit from beautiful railings that reflect the age of this architecture, something that emphasizes aesthetically the style of those buildings. And I think that every time people put just very simple railings that are too modern looking, it just dilutes the historic character of those buildings. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you. I don't see anyone else raising their hand, so I think that's the end of public comment.
Great. Thank you, Joe. Nikita, do you want to take it here from here? It sounds like we're ready to make a motion.
Sure. So is there a motion from a commissioner?
Well, I make a motion that we approve the railing as listed, but that we require that the window egress is denied until a much more appropriate design is submitted. And that would include the style of the windows as well as the whole question of the window wells. So that's a modified approval with the proviso, but the proviso has to have your screening, Nick.
Okay. So I'll just need some guidance there because Sharon, if you see my recommendations, I'm making a recommendation to deny the window wells. So I'd be happy to follow suit. I would just need some guidance, perhaps only one window well, as well as a new material. I just need guidance.
Okay. I need to walk back my making a motion because I was looking at the staff comments. You had recommended approval with the following provisos. I would approve the railing. I would not approve the window wells and the windows as presented. I'm also inclined to deny without prejudice and ask the owner and designer to come back with a more appropriate design.
Do we have a second for that motion?
If there's no second, then the motion would fail.
Gotcha.
Okay.
No second? Does anyone else want to make a motion?
So they would be able to come back again with another view of those windows. They wouldn't have to wait a year or two or whatever.
If the windows are denied, it's denied for 2 years.
May I make a comment?
Yeah.
Sure, go ahead.
Sorry to interrupt. The window wells as they exist right now, my client's certainly open to amending their style, installing masonry, granite, cinder block, whatever you may be appropriate, unifying them into one position, or keeping them separate, whatever may be the preference of this committee. However, the grade of the property as it exists now is a walkout basement with one wall that's not shared with the adjacent property. The footprint of the property, in order to allow for a second unit, would require these window casings, which is the only reason that they're being requested in the first place. And to deny the window casings outright, I would suggest, just for the record, would maybe unduly burden my client's ability to utilize the property in a manner that's been approved by the Boston Zoning Commission as enabled by the Acts of 1956.
That's correct, John, but you did not get your application approved by our legislation, Chapter 772 of the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, and therefore that approval is moot.
If I could just respond to that in a moment. The instructions listed for this committee and the appearance before it state that all outstanding zoning issues must be resolved prior to submitting an application for commission review.
Yep.
Zoning application was filed on, I'm sorry, the zoning hearing was held on June 14th, and the decision was entered on February 7th. The permits beyond that were applied for March 20th or so, which was just after the 16th when the shutdown began. And the permit itself was issued under Section 105.1. of the Massachusetts Building Code on May 15th.
But again, you did not receive our approval. You know, if whatever happens, whatever the commission decides to rule, You know, we can discuss this further, and there is an appeal process, but we should wait till the commissioners make a motion before we discuss that, and we'll have to take that offline because that's not relevant to this motion.
I guess the very brief synopsis of what I'm saying is that a window well is only necessary for the creation of two units, and we'd be happy to move it in any way whatsoever. Happy to, glad to. But to deny it outright would basically result in an appeal.
And that's your right.
Full extent. And I don't know if that's, I don't know if that's necessary. Is there not some compromise that could be reached? That's, I guess, my comment. Thank you.
I'd like to propose a motion. I'd like to propose the motion that we approve the application with the following provisos. The railing is approved, a simple black railing with no elaborate details and installed into the stoop with the least amount of holes as possible without compromising the stability. And the second would be the window egress is denied and must be returned to the original condition. A lift of the stop work order will not be implemented until a new plan to repair the violations are submitted to the staff for approval. Is there a second to the motion?
I will second that.
Thank you.
I will now take a roll call vote. John Blige?
Sorry, I vote in favor of your proposal.
Sharon?
Yes.
Did Kirsten
come? Yeah. There she is.
How are you, Kirsten? Helen?
Yes.
And yes for me. Application 21.0093 has been approved with the provisos.
Thank you, Jen. And we can discuss that further.
Okay, thank you very much.
After the hearing, give me a buzz tomorrow.
Understood, thank you. Thank you.
We're now going to move on to the second portion of the hearing today, which is an advisory. So we have an advisory for 1789 Commonwealth Avenue. The proposed work is to demolish existing structure and construct a new apartment structure. Are there any recusals from the commission? No? Okay. Members of the public, we don't do public comments for advisory. This is just a discussion to get, you know, for us to get familiar with the project and give back feedback. And so I will open it up to the applicant.
And just give me 1 second to bring up the presentation. Looks like Dan sent this to me. Dan, are you here?
Yeah, Nick, I can also share my screen. If you would like, I can then run through the presentation.
I think that's a wonderful idea, Dan. Let me just give you access there. Where are you here? Let's see. There you are right here. Okay, so I just gave you co-host abilities. If you want to share your screen, let me just stop sharing mine. Go ahead.
Everyone able to see the cover sheet there?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right.
Hey guys, this is Jacob Simmons from the team. I'll give just a quick intro and then I'll hand it over to Dan to run through the presentation. So we have Josh Fetterman from our team as well on the line. So we actually were, our office used to be pretty close to this property on Chestnut Hill Ave. We bought it a little over a year ago, and our understanding and talking to some of the neighbors, it seems like this is the consensus, is it's sort of been used as a, I don't know, transient rental housing for the near past. We think given the proximity to the transit, given the siting right on Comm Ave, it's a good, there's a good opportunity here to do some denser redevelopment. And this is really one of our first stops. We'll of course be doing a full BPDA process, and I'm sure we'll be in front of a lot of groups, but we wanted to come here first, given that it's in the Aberdeen district. So, Dan, I'll turn it over to you and run through it.
Sure thing. Yeah, so my name is Dan Artigas. I'm with Embark Architecture. We're the architect for the project. In addition to Jacob and Josh, John Haskell with Drago and Toscano is on the line as well. And for the proposal, we've been working with Verdant Landscape Architecture for landscape architecture design, as well as Necrosity Historic Advisors in looking into the history of the building, as well as understanding the architectural character of the district. So the project itself, as it stands now, is a five-story residential building with 46 units and 42 parking spaces. The lot size is roughly 21,500 square feet, and the gross square footage of the proposed building is 48,000 square feet. And the total building height from grade is 62 feet, 6 inches to the highest point of the structure. In terms of the location of the site, 1789 Comm Ave is the red outline here, is close to the corner of Chiswick Road and Commonwealth Avenue, right across from the Chiswick Road MBTA station. This is just a aerial view of the site. You can see kind of the outline of the site in blue here, and then the roof of the existing structure in gray, kind of amongst the trees. And then this is just a zoning map showing that our site is clearly within the Aberdeen Architectural Conservation District. In terms of structures around the existing building, the picture to the top right here is a view across the street. Our project is the blue house in the foreground. It's a two-story, four-unit building currently, slightly above grade from Commonwealth Avenue, accessed by an existing concrete stair up to the front. Looking down the other way, down Comm Ave on the bottom left-hand corner, is a view towards Cleveland Circle and that intersection. And then to the right here is the buildings down Commonwealth Avenue, two- and three-story brick buildings. And then diagonally across from our site is 1800 Commonwealth Avenue, which is a six-story brick apartment building. And then just zooming into our project and talking a little bit about the existing building. Something that we, in researching the existing building, found is that over time, significant changes have been made to the house itself, removing some of the architectural character consistent with the district. And zooming into some of the changes, you can see at the top left-hand side, consistent with houses in this area, the front porch was removed or non-existent at the beginning. So the front entry door, which can be seen on the top left-hand image, as well as the center image here, lacks any clear definition from the front facade outside of the existing concrete stair. Also, over time, the windows on the front facade have been enlarged so that clear definition and window lines across the front facade are no longer existent. Going to around the corner of the building, because this was changed from a one-unit building to a four-unit building, additional entries from the exterior have been added, as well as porches to the rear and side to provide egress. So the top right-hand corner image shows a unit entry door within an added-on porch, kind of out of alignment with an existing oriel window above. And then rotating to the rear, you can see the bottom middle image, existing porches that were added on after the building was built to provide egress to the upper floor units. And then another difficulty with the site, or design challenge, is the heavy existing ledge outcropping. So what you're seeing here is the bottom left-hand photo is taken from above the existing ledge, looking at the second story of the building. So the ledge here is high enough to be at the second story level. And that's why, and you see the top of the decks here in this bottom left-hand corner, whereas the middle photo is taken from basically Commonwealth Avenue grade, showing a full two-story deck structure that's kind of very close in proximity to the existing ledge. And then lastly, at some point around in the 1950s, a two-car garage was constructed, and over time and disrepair, it's now essentially a ruin, and that's what the bottom right-hand corner is. It's the found the remnants of the former garage on site. So to review a little bit, the changes to the building itself have limited the architectural character of the building in being consistent with the district due to the removal and replacement of all the windows from the original to vinyl windows. All of the existing siding has been replaced with vinyl siding. And then on the front facade, any clear exposed rafters or porch treatments have been removed over time. And even looking at the two buildings next to our building, you can see that there's clear porch definition on both 1781 and 1777 ConAv, as well as clear roof rafter definition consistent with the district. And this is just a alteration timeline. All of these alterations took place before City Realty purchased the property. So you can see quite a few changes have been made to the building since its construction in 1911, namely in 1977, the replacement of the exterior doors. In 1996, enlargement of three windows, namely the front bay window here, taking out of alignment with the windows above. In March of 1999, all of the windows were replaced with vinyl. And then in December of 99, all of the siding was replaced as well. That being said, the changes to the building, there is because of the grade change, there's a substantial rubble stone wall that is on site, and we're looking to retain and rebuild as part of the project. Use the existing characteristics to influence our design, and then kind of tying into what our proposal is to construct a five-story multifamily residential apartment building, which takes a lot of influences from both the neighborhood as well as the study made in the district in terms of architectural detailing. And I'll go into that a little bit here. So looking at that building diagonally across the street at 1800 Commonwealth Ave, the top left-hand photo here, we look to take influence from the two-story height entry to the building, as well as the definition of the columns going up the facade, connecting the top cornice with the heavily defined rusticated base. And that kind of ties in with also the influences from 1848 Commonwealth Ave, that's a little bit farther down Commonwealth Ave from this site. The top right-hand corner are examples of kind of brick detailing and the fenestration that we're looking to use. And then at the bottom, being consistent with the scales, the changing in scales of the district, showing that there is precedent for smaller scale buildings to be next to these larger multifamily residential apartment buildings. So just tying into the design of the building, and then some of the examples from the Architectural Conservation District report. Heavy cornice detailing, the window detailing, looking at using windows consistent with the district, flat roof with an appropriate cornice line, single and double paired windows, a large proportion of windows on the front facade to provide transparency as well as light and air for the units behind, creating a very defined and detailed base, body, and cornice to the building, and then well-defining the front facade. And something that we've done as part of the project is try to maintain the existing grade as much as possible, but provide a dedicated entry off of Commonwealth Avenue. And that's what you can see on the front left-hand corner here. All of the entrance to the building will be off of Commonwealth Avenue at grade, accessible. And then there'll be bike parking and other amenity spaces inside, which we'll get to in a second. And then this is just a front elevation showing the building in context. In terms of height, we are sensitive to the height of the area, but looking at some of the other buildings in the direct context, across the street, there's a six-story apartment building down Commonwealth Avenue. At 1848 is another five-story apartment building. Directly to our rear on Chiswick Road is a five-story apartment building. And then these are actually outside of the district, so but another 10-story and an eight-story multifamily residential buildings directly to the rear. This is just the existing site plan showing the outstanding ledge outcrop, outlining the two rubble stone walls that we'll be looking to catalog and rebuild, highlighting that existing garage remnant that is going to be removed. Something to note here, though, is that in the development, we are looking to use the existing access to parking, so utilize this existing concrete drive and provide access to our parking garage from essentially the same point as it always has been. And then we're going to be keeping this existing wall on the property line facing 125 Chiswick Road. So this is just the proposed parking plan. The lobby off of the street, off of Commonwealth Ave. For all the plans, Commonwealth Avenue will be to the right. So you have the entry to the lobby, reusing the existing parking, existing curb cut and vehicular access, providing two handicap spaces right off of the lobby for accessible access to the building. The current building does not have accessible access to it. And then providing parking for 40 spaces in the rear using a semi-automated parking system. And this is just there's a secondary lobby condition because of the ledge and the grade change. We're not going to build out the entire site, but until we get above the ledge so that we don't disturb it as much as possible. So we do have a full amenity space for the building at the second level. And then going up into the typical floor plans is the third, fourth, and the second, third, and fourth plan. And then the fifth floor plan gets pulled back from Commonwealth Ave on all sides. So we have a 10-foot step back on the front, another 10-foot step back on the side facing the smaller residential building, and then a 5'6" step back facing the corner lot at Chiswick Road. And that continues back until we get to the rear of the building. At this point, I want to thank you all for your time. I look forward to all of your comments. Thank you.
Thanks, Dan. So commissioners, just a reminder, this is an advisory session, so I would encourage you to give your honest thoughts on this so that the developers can take some notes. I'll also note we do have our colleagues from the BCDC here, so they are also paying attention, so I'll ask for their feedback as well towards the end of your comments. Thanks.
I have a few comments I'd like to make.
Go ahead, Helen.
You know, one of the core goals of this district was to save and preserve the freestanding houses. And this, the majority of which are kind of in the enclave back on the other side of Comm Ave, but this block is one block on Comm Ave with three freestanding houses. They make a unit, they're complementary to each other. They're a similar height, and they're on that higher elevation. On the other side of the street are the three freestanding red brick houses. And these are this is a unique block in that we, the kind of last freestanding houses on Commonwealth Avenue. and they make a cohesive grouping. All of the, I will not argue that it's the most handsome house on Comm Ave, but clearly, but it's part of the main point to me is that it's part of a grouping, that the size, the shape, the style of all three of those buildings make a whole. The other thing is that all of these changes that have been made to the existing house, the vinyl siding, the changing of the windows, a lot of those could be reversed and returned to a more appropriate materials. You know, there's some changes like the changes to the egress when it was changed to a four family, that at this point can't be changed, but the, you know, some of the characteristics that it's lacking could be returned to it, if that, you know, it's a situation that could be changed. These houses and then the ones across the street are the two remaining groups of freestanding houses. They're all in the same kind of size. They each make the group of them makes a whole. And you completely lose that rhythm. You completely lose that sense if by inserting this building here that comes right up to the building, right to the street. You lose that the way the landscaping, and landscaping is important in Aberdeen, the way the landscaping extends upward to the base of these houses as they exist. And that's another thing in terms of, you know, the landscaping is important in Aberdeen, and the ledge, which is very characteristic, is one of the elements of landscaping that should be preserved.
Helen, what are your thoughts on something behind the existing structure? This is a relatively large lot. Well, it's the combination of two lots. What are your thoughts on you know, something behind this existing structure? I know you have some thoughts on the green space, but it'd be interesting for the developer to hear that.
You know, I'm just concerned that when you start changing every building in the district becomes something that it wasn't originally. And to have a large building behind that, you lose green space. You're still going to lose that sort of the way those three buildings are complementary to each other, that kind of holistic grouping, you lose that. And, you know, I want to make a comment. I'm not opposed to every new development. 1650 Comm Ave, which actually now has been there for a couple of years, the whole commission was completely approved of. There's a development that's going to go where the motel, I forget the current name of it even is, but that low rise motel. That's a very large development that we actually met with BCDC to review that a couple of times, and myself and the full commission approved of that. So, you know, I want to be clear that I'm not against every new development, but I just feel this is both that this in its size and it's coming, and even to put a building behind it, that starts getting into an issue of that the houses lose their identity, that they become something that they're not.
Thank you, Helen. Other commissioners?
I have to agree with Helen on this. I realize that the ledge presents very unique building difficulties in this area. That's a standard problem. But the way this design presents it, it's flush with it's on the property line, and it presents a wall for anything that might be behind it. I have to agree with Helen that while the cornices are nice and the windows can be changed, the sheer scale is way out of proportion to what we see in the neighborhood. And I'm not including the high rises across Commonwealth Avenue because they've been there before the commission was formed.
Thank you, Sharon. John, Nikita, Kirsten.
My feelings on it is, you know, it's really big. I mean, you're going from what was a you know, a four family to 46 units, the mass is really there. You know, you're losing a lot of that nice green space that, you know, you just don't see as much on Common Ave. I know most of the pictures in your presentation were in the fall, but like in the summertime, it's really nice to see that green area. And, you know, I mean, I know Common Ave too is a commuter area and stuff, but also, you know, I would just say going forward with other boards and stuff too, like, you know, consider visitor parking as well, because, you know, a lot of these massive buildings built and they're low on parking, but then they have no visitor parking. So, you know, I'm sure we'll run into you at other boards and other meetings, and, you know, you might as well start thinking about it now. But yeah, it'd be kind of sad in a sense to see such a small house turn into such a massive, I mean, I don't know what the FAR is. I mean, obviously it's a big site, but seems like a lot.
Yeah, I would agree also with everything that's been said. It's very big and blocky, and it really, you know, dwarfs the other buildings that are there now. It just, and I don't think it fits in aesthetically with the neighborhood, and I think it's out of character and very large.
My thoughts are the same. I think it just is very dominating for that space. And I honestly would be very interested in seeing the original structure. It's a little unsightly right now, but I would love to see it somewhat restored and incorporated into whatever the next iteration of the design is. You know, even if we try out some kind of hybrid where maybe we look at what would it look like if there was something in the back. Sorry, cat scratching. goodness gracious. Even if there was some kind of hybrid just to look at, you know, where that building is restored. And maybe there is some type of structure in the back just to see it, what that would look like, a kind of, you know, how we can incorporate that and keep some of that green space, keep that structure. But for the most part, I agree with the other commissioners that it's just not, it just takes away from what's already there. And we're already lacking green space. And, you know, single structure homes. So that's my thoughts on it.
Nikita, would you be objected to anything behind the existing structure? Say, for instance, if there, you know, we can do a number of architectural research to see what the details were on the original structure. If we were to retain the existing structure, would you be objected? I know Helen has some strong feelings about a building behind the existing structure, but what are your thoughts on that?
I think it's possible. I think there's some room for exploring that. Honestly, I think that, you know, definitely we're in a housing crunch right now where folks, you know, we need more spaces, but I don't really like the idea of taking away the historical spaces in order to do that, which sounds like really horrible, but that's my thoughts on it. So I would like to see what that would look like, you know, how can we have both, but it's not something that I would completely oppose until I see it. I kind of almost can't imagine it right now, but I don't have the imagination for it. So I'd like to see some kind of rough idea of what that would look like, but it's not something that I would completely be against.
Okay. Thank you, Nikita. That's helpful.
I worry about that idea though of setting up secondary. I mean, it's almost like, you know, in different parts of Brighton, you see that where these big yards were cut up and now it's almost like a secondary road behind a house. And then, so the house has no frontage really because it's really a backyard of another house. And I think it's a dangerous precedent. Like when you start getting into that, you know, I'd be wary of doing that. I'd rather see some kind of maybe smaller building, maybe, I don't know. I mean, I'm not against everything. I'm open-minded, but I'd prefer to see one building, even if it was not the original building, but kind of had characteristics of the neighborhood, as opposed to switching to, you know, having a secondary road. I'd lean that the other direction.
Right. Gotcha.
To add something here too, there's always,
we, Did we lose you, Sharon? I see you. Uh-oh. I think we lost Sharon. Give her a second here. All right. Well, while we're waiting for Sharon to come on online, so as I said before, you know, just trying Embark and City Realty has done a really great job, or has done some really great work in the city. Is there any guidance that we can provide them that we have not provided already? This is a pretty big lot when you're combining this. Is there any opportunity for work at the rear, or there's also some old growth trees here. Would you not want to see the additional structure from the street? Anything that we can provide to the developer so that they can maybe get creative with this lot? Or are you completely opposed to an additional building at the rear of the building, or rear of the existing building?
Is Embark the firm that did 38 Englewood?
Dan?
We are. Yes.
You know, and I still have great hesitation about, you know, adding to these buildings, because as soon as, you know, when you start having multiple buildings and these additions, the district becomes something that it's not. But I do have to say that Embark for 38 Englewood, they originally came to us with a huge addition that was a big box and over it dwarfed and kind of loomed over the existing house. And they came back a few times to the commission and ended up with an addition that was approved, and I myself actually voted for it. I still have some misgivings about it because I would rather have just the original house as it was, but they did do a good job of making something that was much smaller than their original proposal and that was hardly visible from the street. And that's one of the reasons that I was willing to you know, vote in favor of that. So while I'm very wary of adding to the back, because again, I know I keep saying the same thing, but when you start changing all the properties, then the district becomes something that it wasn't and it loses its identity. But at the same time, they did do, you know, something that we did find acceptable on at 38 Englewood. So, you know, something that's more an addition to the existing house rather than completely building a new building. I'm not saying necessarily that I would agree with that or approve of that if that were presented, but to me, it's a more palatable idea than a completely new building that completely replaces what's there. And again, because the freestanding houses are one of the, you know, core missions of the district to preserve them. And so to me, to lose that house and to lose that, you know, that row of houses would be a big loss to the district.
Thank you, Helen. That's helpful. Other comments from the commissioners?
One other thought I had is if it was kind of, if you are going to end up with a bigger building, you know, if you could kind of keep some characteristics to the house next to it, like Helen's saying, to kind of keep that feel maybe of the houses, but also a consideration. I mean, if you're talking about something this big, you know, you see it everywhere now with Ubers and delivery trucks, everything is delivered to apartments and everything. You know, I tend to like it when there's some space in the, you know, where some of those vehicles can move in, where they're not blocking traffic and causing other problems for the neighbors and taking away from the life of everybody else. So, I mean, if there's a way to manage that in the process of the construction, it would be great. I mean, especially if you're gonna end up with trying to do something with the original building and build backwards, then you're gonna have some space and maintain as much green as you can.
Thanks, John.
Thank you.
Sharon.
Only thing I would say add to that is, as Nick had mentioned a couple times, we are lucky that we have such a large lot, and we all also have our own existing curb cut off the street that we're going to be working with, and quite a long driveway there that we aren't looking to change all that much. So We will have quite a bit of area to accommodate vehicular access like you were talking about, John.
Yeah, the one thing I worry about though, and I mean, you see it everywhere, no Uber drivers pulling in. I mean, you'll be lucky if you're a delivery guy or an Amazon guy to pull in, you know what I mean? So I think sometimes we have to be kind of, I get the bigger trucks and moving and all that stuff will be handled inward and that's great, and trash and all that. But I think that we got to also keep in mind, you know, the people that live right there and what they're going to be dealing with more on a regular basis, especially, I mean, you know, I think, like I said, I think 46 is dense, but like, even if you had a lot, you know, you're going to have a lot of pickups, drop-offs, like you said, you know, if the city numbers are right and everything, and there's less parking in these buildings and more people are going to be commuting, they're also going to be using ride shares and they're going to be, you know, just getting stuff delivered, and all those stops, you know, they just back everything up. And so if we can help prevent that in the initial design, I think it's a great thing, you know.
Thank you, John. Sharon, I noticed that you came back. Did you want to finish your comment?
Yeah, and I'm sorry about that. I didn't realize I was draining my battery. I just wanted to say one last thing, and that's the demolish word. It's so much easier to build when you've got a clean space. And so many persons like to start with a clean slate, except that when you're talking about demolishing in Aberdeen, you're wiping away another bit of architectural significance and another bit of the neighborhood. So if there's any way we can maximize this building and the site without demolishing, I'd much rather go forward with that.
Thank you, Sharon. Any other comments from the commissioners? Now I know Megan from BCDC is here. Megan, did you want to say anything? I know I'm kind of putting you on the spot and I apologize, but I just want to make sure that you can give your voice because you're part of the process as well.
Thanks, Nick. I'm not. I think this project is probably won't be going to BCDC, only that it's not large enough, but it will be going through the BPDA's process. So I'm here from Urban Design with the BPDA, and I would just say thank you all. It's very nice. I appreciate that in this, one of the positive aspects of this remote time is that it's much easier for us to be able to attend and hear the comments and be part of, or at least, you know, hear the conversation. It's very helpful for us as we do our work, and we work collaboratively with the BLC staff. So it's very helpful. Thank you. I would ask that in terms of the comments of if there's any possibility to some sort of addition or new structure at the rear, does the commission feel that the existing house should be retained in its current location, or is there an opportunity for something that existing house is relocated on the site? I just want to be clear that I understand the kind of feedback, so we can better understand what type of possibility for a project there is here. Thank you.
Thank you, Megan, and thank you for clarifying that. I think that's a really great question. Commissioners, what do you think about Megan's comment?
Well, I would say, given that the ledge is there and that directs any concept of building, that moving the house, I think that might not work, but again, I haven't looked behind the building because it's on private property. There isn't much front yard, and the three houses that make up a group there, they're up about 20 feet, so they do have a commanding view. I don't know that moving the house would solve the problem. I think it might be easier to create an addition that makes better use of the site, but that's for the architects to explore.
Great.
You know, I just want to comment the front elevation of each of those three houses. They're at the same kind of along the same line, and it would put it out of position to move that house. You know, we approved one property to have a house moved, and which hasn't happened yet. And we explicitly in our, you know, in our approval of that stated that we were not setting a precedent in approving for building a structure to be moved. You know, I mean, the whole part of the, and it's in the guidelines, part of the property is the siting of the house on the property and the siting of the house within the greenscape and the landscaping of the property. And when you start moving I don't even know if it'd be physically possible, but if you start moving the property forward, back, so, you know, you're changing those relationships and you're changing that whole conception of what the property is. So I would not be in favor of moving. And the house, and the other thing is that it's a risk. You know, and I know we were assured by that other property they would be able to move that house successfully. It hasn't happened yet, so I don't know whether that will be moved successfully, but in moving historic structure, there's a risk involved in doing that. But more importantly is that changing the relationship to the other buildings alongside it and to its landscaping and its property line. I would not favor that.
Thank you, Helen.
I agree with you.
I would say thank you. That was very helpful. I absolutely understand and am aware of the ledge issue and all the different issues. I just wanted that kind of clear cut feedback regarding that the landscape and the grade contributes to the landscape and is part of how you view the existing structure and house. I just wanted to make sure that we're all on the same page. So thank you.
Thanks, Megan. Great. Dan, Jacob, any questions, other questions from the commission that they haven't mentioned or?
Okay. Jacob, unless you have any other questions, I don't. I just want to thank everyone again for their comments. Moving forward, it's helpful to have some clear direction. Nick, thank you for helping guide some of the conversation. And we'll look to come back to you again with this.
Great. And if you need me, you can always give us a call and we'll be happy to arrange anything if you want to do that. A reminder to the public, we're not taking public comment because this is only an advisory review and we are not making any motion today. So this is just an informational session. When an application is received by the commission, we will accept public comment for everyone that is interested in doing so. So I wanted to thank everybody for their time, and I will hand that back over to Nikita, and if you want to move on to the next application or the next advisory. Thank you.
We'll be moving on. The second advisory will be 123 and 125 Lanark Road. The proposed work is to replace existing slate roof with asphalt shingles. So I will open it up to the presenters. I believe it's Jamie.
Oh, hi. So I am the owner of 125 Lanark Road, and I've been living there for about 30 years. Throughout my 30 years there, my parents have been constantly fixing the roof whenever it rains. And I think it's come to a point where we've decided to just replace it just because it's been over 100 years. The slate's falling apart. Every time there's a huge snowstorm, like bits and pieces of a slate would fall down onto the driveway. And I think it's just time for us to put up a new roof.
Okay, so just to give you guys a little bit of background and a little bit of understanding as to why Jamie is here. Jamie has some emergency repairs that he needs to do because the roof is leaking. He has provided sufficient documentation for an urgent repair. However, he and his contractor did not propose replacing it with slate. They were proposing to replace it with asphalt shingles, And unfortunately, Jamie missed the deadline for the August hearing. So he's just looking for a direction forward. And the question for you commissioners will be, can Jamie replace his slate shingles with asphalt shingles? Would that be appropriate for the district? There are several houses that are exactly the same as Jamie's house that do have asphalt shingles, but I will note that A, they were replaced prior to the district being formed in 2007, and B, there's a possibility that there may be a violation because I can't find any approval for the other one. So I'll turn that over to you. I can actually show you the property here on the on Google Street View. I'll just share my screen here. All right. And Jamie, is this is yours right here?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then you can see down the block here, we have several other houses that are exactly the same in design. Mm-hmm. Some of them have slate, some of them do not. So with that, I will turn the comments over to you, commissioners, with your thoughts and concerns and ways forward.
Is it possible to comment?
We're not accepting public comment at this time. This is an advisory review because there is no application that's been submitted as of yet.
Nick, do you have a sample of the asphalt that's going to be used for the emergency repair?
I don't, but we can make recommendations for it to be any color or shape, architectural or not. That would be at our discretion.
I'm sorry, but you guys are not considering slate imitations.
We have not because the contractor already priced out the asphalt shingles and we weren't sure. I mean, we didn't want to go over budget just replacing the roof. So that's why we weren't sure how to proceed.
Are the slate original slate shingles there now?
Yes.
And Nick, I'm trying to quickly look at the guidelines. That does not meet the guidelines for this district.
The guidelines of the district state that materials should be replaced like for like because they're components of the architecture. So basically what we're doing here is you're telling me if it's okay for Jamie to replace his slate with asphalt. I can't authorize that without your approval.
Is he proposing to repair the whole roof or just repair areas that are where it's leaking?
Jamie, do you want to comment on that?
Yeah. So we've been patching it for like the last 10 years. And every time we patch it, it's just another leak that springs up somewhere else. And it's gotten to a point where like we're patching the roof, we're patching the ceilings on the top floor. And it's gone to, and my parents are a lot older. They don't want to deal with all that construction going on anymore. So they just want to fix it once and for all until, and they were just really, I guess, disappointed because a lot of the houses on that same street, which is exactly the same as ours, have already had their roofs replaced. That's why we weren't sure how to proceed without coming to you guys.
Have you ever tried to, is it you and your family that are doing the repairs previously, or did you ever hire a professional roofer that specialized in slate to repair and patch the slate roof?
Yeah, so I've had a handyman come in and to just kind of like patch it up. And we've got a couple of quotes from roofers and they've ranged from $15,000 to like $40,000. It's just, and we finally got a quote from the current contractor, which is about $13,000 to replace it. And I didn't even ask him how much the slate, replacing the slate would cost, but I mean, I don't know if we can afford that going forward.
And has there been any consideration for kind of dividing the work out and replacing it in increments so that it would become more affordable? So for instance, if you could do the front half where if there were the majority of the leaks were at the front of the property, And then, you know, when there's additional funds available, you could do the rear where there isn't such an urgency, or vice versa, whatever it is. But
the contractor just recommended, if we're going to do it, we're going to do it all at once because it's more economical in that sense. We haven't even considered that. We haven't talked about that, but yeah, I'm not sure.
Nick, are there any other materials that are slate-like but would be less expensive than slate that would be acceptable?
So, well, that's a great question, Helen. So that would actually be up to you. There is imitation slate. Joe and I often are presented with samples of the imitation slate, and they vary in terms of quality. So some of them look like real slate and some of them are kind of plasticky looking. But yes, they're out there. They're more affordable. But that would be up to you, because according to the guidelines, it's not a like-for-like replacement. But if you're more inclined to do that, we could certainly request that the applicant price out those. And if you're more open to a slate substitute.
You know, I'm not insensitive to the fact that this is an emergency situation, that a roof leaking is, you know, needs to be addressed.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's something that's probably going to be there for like 10 or 15 years at least. So it does, you know, the guidelines aside, it does seem like it needs to be thought through and, you know, approached in the best manner possible, I guess. And that can vary depending on your point of view, what that means. But, you know, so possibly pricing out slate and slate substitute might be, I don't know how much time that would take, but that might be a reasonable request to make. I mean, I'm not sure the way forward here, because I do understand that they need to be able to proceed with making repairs.
Yeah, so again, the way forward is entirely up to you. I will also say we do have a hardship request for folks that aren't able to necessarily afford repairs. It's kind of an invasive process, because you do have to provide your financials. And Jamie, I'm happy to provide you with that document. But again, a lot of folks don't choose to go that route because, you know, you're providing us with your personal finances, and everything in our office is FOIA-able, Freedom of Information Act, so the public can have access to it potentially. So really, the reality, it's really up to you. So if you know, you can tell them that they can do this, the original slate, and they can just do it in increments. You can tell them if you're comfortable, they can do architectural shingles, which basically is the same shape, and it gives an illusion of a shadow line. And that's something that you could choose. So it's really up to you. And I guess Jamie's just here for some guidance, and there is a sense of urgency because there's some leaks, but there are also temporary measures that we can take to make sure that there's no leaks until we get the roof repaired. So it's really up to you as far as how you would like to proceed.
So can I add a comment? Like, so Helen, I mean, is the roof, does that really aesthetically matter that much? If it's a slate versus an asphalt shingle? Because it seems like you guys weren't even that concerned about that when you first brought this up.
Well, I think the roof is, the materials for roofs are part of the guidelines. I mean, that's why you're here, because there are defined accepted materials. And as Nick said, the usual renovation or replacement or restoration, that method is to replace in kind. Okay. So, you know, all the elements of the building, the facade materials, the windows, the roof, the basement, the basement, I can't think of the right word for that. All the materials are part of the review process of the district.
Okay. Guys, hang on just one second. Joe just brought up is this at the edge of the district? I can't remember.
No.
No, it's within the district.
No, it's comfortably within.
Okay. Let me hang on 1 second. So, Joe, in his infinite wisdom, has a recommendation, and I can't thank him enough for this suggestion. So, technically, the rear roof is technically exempt from our review because you can't see it from the street. Mm-hmm. So, in theory, it could be slate on the front and asphalt at the back.
But when it comes to roofs in New England, I'm not sure that that's a good solution for the structure to mix materials that way.
Well, wouldn't it be two completely, I mean, it's a peaked roof. Wouldn't they not really be mixed because one side would be one right. material and the other side of the peak would be the other material? I don't think it would be like mishmash mixed up.
Yeah.
It would okay. be one plane would be one and the other plane would be the other.
Can I weigh in for a second? I think that's an option to have half the roof, you know, in an affordable sense and half of it in the front. The thing about this particular property is that Lanark Road is a one way. That mm-hmm. the first house that sets the precedent for all the other houses that come after you, right? And yep. That slate style that sets the precedent. And if, you know, those other houses that might come up for violation, we would tell them the same thing. Like, it's a historical house. I believe it's a Georgian house, right? And they set it up a certain way. And it's a historical property. And so what comes with that is being able to take care of it and preserve that history. You know what I mean? It sounds arbitrary to a lot of folks, but I think that, you know, for me personally, I think I would be open to the idea of incremental slate being there and doing it in waves, or half of it, you know, from the back that doesn't face the front. Because again, you're the very first house on the street with that style.
That's a good point.
Well, the back being whatever economical solution, and then the front maintaining some of that, maintaining that history. And also, you know, I did a little research on the slate versus the asphalt, right? Slate is actually more durable and will last you a good 70 years if you get a good person to install it, right? So it's economical in the long run, as opposed to maybe the 15 to 30 years you'll get out of the asphalt anyway, right? And so it just, to me, it's not economical upfront, but you'll get the longevity out of it, right? That's why they were doing that that material for so many types of mm-hmm. days. Wow. That long, right? So I think that it's something to think about. Again, I think if your house, you know, if the first house on the street had the asphalt and the second one did, and you're like three ways in, maybe it's like, okay, you know, let's have a different type of conversation. But you set the mark, right? Your house is the house, where it's like, this is, we're coming down the street and it's like, wow, this is a historical home, right? And everybody else who messed up, if they come to the commission and they have to be reviewed, they will have the same thing being told to them, right? Because yeah. it doesn't match the aesthetic of this part of the district. That's all I have to say.
I just want to add a comment to that. If there are other houses on the street with asphalt, they, if that was done prior to this commission existing, that it wasn't review wasn't required. If that was done since this commission, and it was done with that, then that would mean it was done without review. And then it's yeah. possible that owner could be issued a violation to have to address having, you know, done something without doing the proper permit.
Right. And I'm in the process of investigating that as we speak. So stay tuned.
Okay.
Yeah. Jamie, where are the primary leaks on the property? Is it the front or the back?
So there is maybe at the top line and in the back of side, there's a huge leak. Okay. There's all the chimney line. There's always water coming down the chimney. Okay. We don't get any of that in the house just because it just fall. I guess it just goes all the way down to the foundation. See, there's also another section in the back where close to the kitchen where it's also leaking.
Okay.
So three main leaks, and then occasionally there's like probably drops here and there, but.
Yeah. So it sounds like and commissioners, if I'm wrong, please correct me, but it sounds like what we should be doing is the rear of the property is, the roof is basically exempt. So we really can't tell Jamie what to do back there because it's not visible from the street. But mm-hmm. the front is under our purview and should either be real slate replacement or the simulated slate, which may be, will be at a significant reduced cost compared to regular slate, real slate. So does that sound about right?
Yeah.
I would agree with that, but I would say if they propose a simulated slate, that I would want STAIRF review of that, because you just said there's a varying quality yeah. of that. So
yeah.
I would want to see STAIRF review of that to know that it's of acceptable
yeah.
quality and characteristics.
Okay. So Jamie, what are your thoughts?
Okay, I'm okay with that. I need to price it out and just to chat yep. with my contractor, but I don't want, yeah, I'm okay with that.
Okay, cool. Yeah. So you have a direction forward. I can't remember. Did you guys give me an application yet?
I think so.
Okay, yeah. So I have the application. If we can come to an agreeable condition, then I can sign off on the urgent repair. Mm-hmm. And then the application will go before the commission at the next hearing to actually make the approval. So that's kind of your direction forward. Does that sound good?
Okay, so when is the next hearing so I can know when the
timeline is? It's on our website. You can check our website.
Okay, all right.
Yep.
So is that something, though, in the long run that we want to encourage people using different types of stuff or products? I know that, yeah, you can only see the front of the house and that's all we can control. But at the same time, it feels weird to me that, like, you're going to have half, like, you know, built houses all over the place, you know, and
That's a great question, John. I would say that it's probably not best practice, but we don't have any control over it in this specific circumstance.
Right. And yeah. I'm not trying to kill James either because, you know, I have a slate. Right. I know how expensive they are.
Right. So, all right, James, you have your direction forward. Give me a buzz this week or next week, and we can get this squared away and get you under a dry roof.
Okay. Thanks a lot, guys. Appreciate it. Have a good night.
All right.
Take care. Bye.
Bye-bye. So the next thing would be the minutes, but I'm sorry to report is I forgot to draft them up. So according to our legislation, we do have 60 days to present them to you. So I apologize. That's my mistake. It's been a very busy week. Joe is super mean to me. no, that's on Joe's great. So I will get those to you at the next hearing and we can address those then. So I apologize about that. So I guess the next thing would be staff comments, which I don't have any except for I'm sorry for not doing the minutes. And then I will just pass it over to Nikita to take a vote to close the meeting.
Great. Thank you, Nick. So the time is now 5:40 p.m. Do we have a motion to adjourn the Aberdeen Architectural Conservation District Commission hearing on August 13th?
I make the motion.
And I second the motion. I will now take roll call. So let's see. John?
Let's go.
Kirsten?
Yes.
Helen?
Yes.
Karen. Okay. And...
Motion passes.
Motion passes. The meeting is now adjourned.
Thank you.
You did a great job, Nikita. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody.
All right. Good night, everyone.
Night.
Good night, everybody.
Stay cool if you can.